We have your work on this linked up at federalnewsradio.com. And, of course, as I read this, and you're right pretty close to the top of it, E-Verify in use by 4% of American employers, I go right to the inverse of that, which is that 96% of employers aren't using it. What is your sense of what the holdup is for companies and employers to try to comply with E-Verify?
Absolutely. That's a really great question. So part of the thing is that currently the system is actually not mandatory. Most federal workers will recognize it since it is mandatory for just about everyone in government and government contractors. But for an individual business, it's actually not mandatory. And the big issue currently is that House Judiciary Chairman Lamar Smith has proposed the Legal Workforce Act of 2011, which would make the bill mandatory for everyone in the U.S. So even if you have the mom-and-pop grocery next door and you only employ one person, you'd have to use this system.
Is the system ready for prime time in that sense, though? Is it ready for that volume of people to be able to get on it and get the information they need?
Yeah, it's also a really great question. And the simple answer is no, it's not. We already know that it's a very costly system, especially for small businesses. A recent Bloomberg study has shown that it would cost small businesses $2.6 billion a year, and this is at a time when we're already struggling economically. And there are a number of issues that it already has, a very high error rate that will actually cost a lot of Americans their jobs while catching unauthorized workers less than half the time. So the system just doesn't really work as it's already in practice.
The way that you frame this is interesting to me, and I imagine you'd probably come across some controversy in this. You write that mandating E-Verify without legalizing all workers is too expensive, especially in these fragile economic times. Talk about what took you to that conclusion.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you hear, especially from the people pushing this bill, is that this is a jobs bill. This will put more people to work by taking unauthorized immigrants out of the workforce. And really, nothing could be further from the truth. So here's the major issue, right? We have tough economic times. We obviously want to be creating jobs. But if we continue with this system, we're going to end up actually kicking some unauthorized workers off of the workforce, but instead of them just leaving the country and freeing up those jobs for legal Americans, what's going to happen is they're going to move into the cash economy. And this is something we've already seen in states that have put E-Verify into place. And so not only are those jobs not freed up, but the government actually loses out on the tax revenue. So our proposal is, listen, we all understand that making sure we have a legal workforce is absolutely important. But what we need to do is actually ensure that the people here are legal so that everyone is paying their fair share and that, you know, those people that are working can support other people and really help our economic recovery.
There are some really interesting numbers that you have in this report. Let me ask you about a couple of them real quickly as we wrap up. If E-Verify was made mandatory, more than 750,000 legal workers, including U.S. citizens, would lose their jobs because of the system's error rate. And you cite a 0.8% erroneous TNC report. The other one that I wanted to ask you about is more than half of all unauthorized workers have no problem getting through E-Verify. That's an identity fraud problem, according to Westat. Talk about the holes that you found in the system that those two numbers demonstrate.
Absolutely. And I'll say one of the major problems and these high error rates come about because, like any government database, it's only as good as the information put into it. And so let's say you get married and you change your name. Well, a lot of people don't end up putting the right information into the system. And so what ends up happening is when your employer goes in and tries to enter your work eligibility information, if it doesn't match the federal government records, you get what's known as a tentative non-confirmation. And after you get one of these mismatch notices, you as the employee actually have to go to a government agency and fix the problem. And if you can't, and we know a lot of people will be unable to do so, you are legally unauthorized to work, and your employer is obligated to fire you. And as you said, close to 750,000 people over the U.S. will have this problem. That's about, to put it in context, the total population of Washington, D.C. and Alexandria, a lot of people.
I mentioned that we have your report linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, and I appreciate you being on this afternoon to talk about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Happy to do it. Philip Walgren, an immigration policy analyst at the Center for American Progress. More details, as I mentioned, his report and more at federalnewsradio.com.